His divine grace, the boy Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, Iskon Patista Acharya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Ananta Kota Vaishnavrinda ki, Nam Acharya Haridas Thakur ki, Prem Sikho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Karatha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai Sisi Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Sri Mathura Dham ki, Nabadeep Simaipo Dham ki jai, Gangamai ki jai, Jamunamai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulasi Maharani ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankitan Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Jai Nitai Go Premanandi, Samabeta Bhakta Vrinda ki. All glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to all glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, glories to Sri Guru. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, text number 7, Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Manur Uchya Uvacha Alam Vatsatiroshina Tamo Varina Papmana Yena Punya Janan Etan Abadhish Twam Anagasaha Manoruvacha Alam Vatsatiroshninam Amodvarina Papmana Yena Punya Janan Etan Avadishtvam Anagasaha Manoruvacha Alam Vatsatiroshina Amodvarina Papmana Yena Punya Jananetan Abadishtvam Manangasa Manoruvacha Alam Vatsatiroshina Amodvarina Papmana Yena Punya Janan Etan Abadistam Manangasha Manurubhacha Alam Vatsati Roshena Amodvarina Papmana Yena Punya Jananeta Avadishtvamanangasaha Manoruvacha Alam Vatsati Roshena Yena Punya Janametan Avadishtvamanagasa Manoruvacha Alam Vatsati Roshena Amodvarina Papmana Yena Punya Janametan Kamanangasaha Manuvacha Alambacha Jiroshina Tamavarina Papmana Ena Punya Janan Hetan Abadishwamanangasaha. Manurubhacha
Alambhatsa Piroshena
Alambhatsa Piroshena Amudarena Pahmana
Yena Punya Jananeta
Yena Punya Jananeta Avadishvamanangasa Manurubhacha Manu Uvacha.
Manu Uvacha.
Manu said.
Alam.
Enough.
Vatsa.
My dear boy.
Ati Roshina.
With excessive anger. Tamadvarina. The path of ignorance. Patmana. Sinful.
Yena.
By which? Punya Janan. The Yakshas. Etan.
All these.
Abadhi.
You have killed.
Tvam.
You.
Anagasha.
Offenseless.
Translation in purple by His Divine Grace. Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Manu said, my dear son, please stop. It is not good to become unnecessarily angry. It is the path to hellish life. Now you are going beyond the limit by killing yakshasas who are actually not offenders. Please repeat. Lord Manu said,
Lord Manu said,
my dear son,
please stop.
It is not good. To become unnecessarily angry. It is the path to hellish life. Now you are going beyond the limit by killing yakshas who are actually not offenders. In this verse, the word atiroshina means with unnecessary anger. When Dhruva Maharaj went beyond the limits of unnecessary anger, his grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, immediately came to protect him from further sinful action. From this we can understand that killing is not bad. But when killing is done unnecessarily, or when an offenseless person is killed, such killing opens the path to hell. Dhruva Maharaj was saved from such a sinful action because he was a great devotee. A Kshatriya is allowed to kill only for maintenance of law and order of the state. He is not allowed to kill or commit violence without reason. Violence is certainly a path leading to hellish condition of life, but it is also required for maintenance of law and order of the state. Here, Lord Manu prohibited Dhruva Maharaj from killing the Yakshas because only one of them was punishable for killing his brother, Uttam. Not all of the Yakshas citizens were punishable. We find in modern warfare, however, that attacks are made upon innocent citizens who are without fault. According to the laws of Manu, such warfare is a most sinful activity. Furthermore, At the present moment, civilized nations are unnecessarily maintaining many slaughterhouses for killing innocent animals. When a nation is attacked by its enemies, the wholesale slaughter of the citizens should be taken as a reaction to their own sinful activities. That is nature's law. Om Agyant Mirandasya Janan Janan Shalakaya Tachura Meritandina Tashmaish Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garaha Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare So here Srila Prabhupada is mentioning at the end of the purport that when the nation is attacked by its enemies, the wholesale slaughter of the citizens should be taken as a reaction to their own sinful activities. That is nature's law. So Prabhupada said that will happen whether opening slaughterhouses, killing innocent animals, then they can expect a reaction. And Prabhupada said it will come back in the form of a war or a form of pestilence or some great disaster will come. So we cannot do as we like in this material world. It has its laws and it acts by the laws, and we are punishable. Prabhupada said even treading on an ant, or even when you breathe in, so many the microbe germs will be killed. But you have to pay, there is a reaction for that. So therefore Manu is giving laws of, you know, how we should live in this material world. He is actually the law maker. So like any state, it has its own laws, and if you disobey the laws, then you're put in prison. So similarly, there are laws for mankind given by Manu, Svayambhuva Manu, and if they are disobeyed, then there must be a reaction. But of course, you have to understand the laws. And then you can apply them and you can enforce them. But if they don't understand properly the laws, and it may interfere with the natural progression. So, just like someone kills someone and he doesn't get killed, instead he gets life, some imprisonment or something like that in the name of. It's cruel to kill people, and so he doesn't get his full punishment. So it's sentimental, it's based on sentimental proposals. Just the idea that people shouldn't be killed is not good, but if they do something wrong, then they have to be taken care of. But simply to try to stop it or change it artificially, or sentimentally, then that's not good enough. So therefore Manu, he's right at the beginning of the universe, he knows the laws, that's his job. So he knows the laws as given by the law maker, Krishna himself. Krishna says, I make the laws in this world. The Vedas come from Krishna, they, he breathes the Vedas, so he makes all the laws, and he enacts it and he enforces it. And so he's telling everybody how to act, and if you don't act like this, then you'll get a reaction, there'll be a punishment for not acting properly. So therefore it behooves everyone especially the leaders, to know the laws of the state, to know the laws of the government, to know the laws of Krishna. And it should be someone efficient enough to put it into practice. So that's why the great kings are always emphasized, because they make sure it gets done. They are Kshatriyas. So they learn the laws from the Brahmanas, and then they enforce it. They make sure the laws are being kept. Just like in Maharaj Parikshit's time, there was no... Kaliraj had no place to go. He said, you better leave this kingdom. But Kaliraj had no place. It was so nicely maintained that nobody was committing sinful activities or anything like that. So then it takes a great king who knows the laws of God and he knows how to apply the laws of God. Then everybody becomes happy. And the rogues, they're frightened to commit mistakes again because I know they'll get a big punishment. So it reduces all the crime and everything like that. And the citizens are happy, they can go out. They're not afraid to walk out. At night time in some places in the world, you can't go out, you're frightened. So the heads of state should understand the laws of God because they have a great responsibility. And those who take responsibility, actually they will suffer if they misuse that position or don't administrate it properly. They have to suffer more than those they administrate. Prabhupada said, when they tell lies in court, when the lawyers there are telling lies, he said, it goes up into the akash. He says, very, very polluted. He said, try never to go to courthouses. They're very, very polluted places. Because everybody tells lies there, actually. Probably the court is the biggest place for telling lies in any other anywhere. Because it's all... And we have to win our case, so... Nowadays they're ruthless, so they don't mind telling any kinds of lies. And because they're in the position of governing the citizens, that's the law of court, it is the law of the state. When that becomes polluted, then it's very, very bad, and it pollutes the whole atmosphere, Prabhupada said. Don't go to court, or hospitals also, he said. Hospitals are very polluted because there's always so many ghosts and everything hanging around in a hospital looking for someone's body to kind of get into and things like that. So he said, avoid these two places. They're very contaminating. Except Bhaktivedanta Hospital because they're always playing Prabhupada tapes and things like that. Krishna is there. Otherwise, so there'll be a big reaction. Wholesale slaughter. Just like they killed Jesus Christ. Of course, this is more transcendental, but this was more, not so much more sin, but it was actually aparad. But as a result of that, 6 million Jews were killed. And still they're not living in peace. They haven't got their land. They're always fighting for years. Generation after generation after generation. So they have to pay for that, especially if they, you know, for a person on, you know, a great saint like Jesus, and they have to suffer for all that. A devotee born in a family, he liberates so many generations, sometimes 14, it says sometimes 21, or back and forwards he liberates. But if a person offends a pure devotee, he sends his generations, 14 up or 21 up and 21 down, to hell. So we can see that this is a practical reaction. So, atiroshina, unnecessary anger. So the idea that Dhruva is going beyond the limits of necessary anger. Anger is okay. Kshatriya has to be angry to kill. Arjuna was angry on the battlefield. Prabhupada said he had to be. Otherwise you can't kill if you're not angry. So he was angry. Everybody at the country used to have to get angry. And so Dhruva, he was, of course they killed his brother. He was a king. He shouldn't have been killed. He was a king's son. He was a prince. Obviously it's a great crime that Yaksha should kill a king's son. So Dhruva Maharaj, he took it very seriously, and he has to. So to go out and punish the miscreants, especially the killer of a king's son. But he got kind of carried away, and you know, it was turning into he was killing everyone. There was 13,000 yakshas were fighting with Dhruva, but he was intent on killing them all. Of course, Krishna, when he was at Kurukshetra, he killed 640 million Prabhupada. 640 million people, that was a wholesale. But that was done, that was necessary, because Krishna descended for that purpose, to relieve the burdened world of the unnecessary defense forces in the form of different kings who had come there. So they were demons, or maybe not that demons born in Aditi's family, but they were demons coming up. They had become demons, and but they all assumed the form of kings. And so Krishna gathered them all together on the battlefield, and so millions and millions of people were killed there. But it was Lord's plan, so that's okay. But here Dhruva Maharaj is going to kill all the Yakshasas, so that's not good. There's another story. Who was it? Maharaj Janmijaya? Someone had a sharp-haired Jagannath to kill all the snakes in the world. Because someone got bitten by a snake, so he wanted to sacrifice to kill all the snakes. So he had a big sacrifice. And then all the snakes started from falling in a huge fire he had when he was doing this Jagannath. And then, who was it told him to stop? Someone come and told him to stop? I can't remember. Lord Brahma or someone, they come down and said, you can't do that. You may be angry and you may kill the snakes, but you can't wipe out the race. You can't do that. There's 8,400,000 species of life. You can't wipe out a species. So Dhruva, he was so involved with his fighting, he was going to wipe out the whole race of Yakshasas. That wasn't proper. Manu said, no, there has to be a race. These 84 lakh species of life, even race, they have to be there. So you can't just wipe out a race because you're angry. So they come and they had to speak some nice words to Dhruva to pacify him. So their anger is necessary. Sometimes. Generally we understand anger is not very good. Why? Because it's coming from lust. Kam, kro, lobh, moha, matsya. It's a progression. If you're lusty, you're lusty for something. You can't get it, you become angry. Why is interfering with my sense gratification? I want some sense gratification. Something is interfering, I become angry. Kam, krodh. Then greedy, I must have it. I must have it. By any means, I must get it. Kam, krodh, lobh. Greedy. Moha. So it's a progression. Gradually you fall down. But it starts from lust. So generally, if a person's angry, or we find ourselves becoming angry, where is it coming from? We have to change. We must have some lust somewhere. We're exhibiting this anger. Kam, krodh. It's the next thing from lust. Krodh. My desire is not being fulfilled. So if you check out when we find out becoming angry, something we can check. Why is that? Why am I becoming angry? What? It's coming from lust. So generally it's not a good thing, anger, of course. And Krishna's, so many places in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's talking anger is a bad quality and we should avoid it. And everybody knows that anger is not good. And all the saintly persons, the Ahimsa is one of the greatest qualities. But we find that even Krishna becomes angry himself. At Kurukshetra, he was angry when Bhishma Dev was killing Arjuna. Because Duryodhana, he said to Bhishma at the end of the day's fighting, you're very affectionate to those Pandava sons. There's too much affection there. And therefore you're restraining from fighting properly because you like them. Therefore your fighting is not up. You're not showing your full prowess. So he insulted Bhishma Dev, because Kshatriyas don't like to be telling them they're not fighting properly or anything. And Bhishma Dev said, okay, I will kill them tomorrow. I have 5 special arrows. I will kill them tomorrow with these arrows. Nothing can stop these talismans. So, Duryodhana or Dronacharya? Duryodhana. He said, give me the arrows, I'll keep them. So he took from Bhishma, I'll keep them very safe. Then some another Krishna tricked him. And they went and asked him for a benedict, please give us some charity. And he was so liberal. They said, yeah, what do you want? Give me those 5 arrows. He's a Brahmin. He was so liberal. He gave those arrows. Such good quality. That was Dronacharya. He was the enemy. And Krishna was supposed to be the perfect example. But Krishna started to tell lies and things like that. And he was angry. He broke his promise. Actually, Drona was very fair and honest, but Krishna was dishonest. And he was supposed to be on the goodie side. Anyway, he was so magnanimous, he gave him those arrows. So then when Bhishma found out, he said, this is a trick of Krishna. He said, tomorrow I'll kill Arjuna. Otherwise, Krishna will have to take up weapon. He's promised not to take weapon. So then Bhishma, he fought ferociously. Arjuna and Krishna were in real danger. He was just releasing arrow after arrow. They just couldn't practically move. Arjuna couldn't even get his one after arrow after another. And Krishna was splattered with arrows and blood and everything like that. And Arjuna, he actually overpowered Arjuna. Arjuna couldn't get his couldn't fire his weapons properly. He was intent on killing him. And Krishna saw it. He said, my friend's going to get killed. Arjuna's going to get killed. So he just rushed off the chariot. He picked up his wheel. Bhishma! Rushing like a mad elephant. A lion goes towards an elephant. A lion always wins when he attacks an elephant. But he was so angry. And he was rushing. And good Bhishma saw him. He's his worshipful deity. Patasarati, because he's in a Kshatriya mood, he has that spirit. When he saw Krishna really angry, like covered in blood and dust and everything like that, he saw, he said, this is in such an angry mood, heroic mood. This was the ecstasy for Bhishma Dev, because this is the rasa they had of chivalry. So he was enjoying that. So he remembered that there's a planet, Prabhupada said there's a planet called Parthasarathi. Planet of Parthasarathi. Krishna is there as a Kshatriya. And all Bhishma Dev is there. All the Kshatriyas, those who are Kshatriya have a Kshatriya spirit, they're there. Yeah, they ride around on chariots. I don't think there's any fighting there, but they're Kshatriyas, the heroes, the way they do. It's a planet, so Bhishma Dev goes there. When he left his body, he went there. Simon claims he got a form in Navadvip. Because he came here as a young boy to study from Janamuni here at Janamuni. And because of that, he got also a form to stay in Navadvip. Of course, that one's very peaceful. He's got 12 tilaks and he's chanting. He has Kunti Mala. But Parthasarathi planet, then they're all very proud. Anyway, So he just saw Krishna coming to him like death, and so he put down his, here's my worshipful Lord, he's coming. But death personified. But Bhishma Dev is saying, oh, my lovable object. He, for everyone else, he was death, like a ferocious little tiger. And Krishna was so angry, he even lost his charter. He was so rushed off the charter, so his charter fell off. He didn't even know it, you know. He kind of lost it. Krishna lost it, you know. He got angry, he lost his charter. He didn't even know his charter was falling on the ground. And, you know, a little while just before that, he was a big speaker, you know. Don't lament for the living and all the dead. One shouldn't become angry. Stay composed. Tolerate. He was all these nice qualities, but you see Krishna now. So Bhishma Dev was, you know, he was adoring this picture. Look, your death is coming towards you. Look how his charter's falling off, and he doesn't even notice it. He was noticing everything about his lovable object, even though it was death for him. Personified as Russian, this is so much affection he had for his devotees. So Krishna broke his promise. So now he's... but Krishna doesn't care. So I don't care if people accuse me of being telling lies, or they accuse me of being an immoral person or a man of not integrity. I don't care. He said, but I do care for my devotees. I do care that I am known as Bhaktavatsala. That I care for. That I will never give up. Other things I may sacrifice, I may tell lies and things like that, but I will never sacrifice my affection to my devotee. I will always be known as Bhaktavatsala. That will never be. So even Krishna himself gets angry. Prabhupada also gets angry sometimes. There was one in Delhi. They had a big panel program there, Connaught Circus. 1971, and Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and thousands of people were coming, up to about 20,000, I think. It's a huge area. The Connaught Circus is a big area in New Delhi. So they had a big panda program. This was like 71, so this was the Prabhupada there with all the Western disciples. That was a big thing for, you know, Indian people, and see white people with tilak and chanting Hare Krishna. So it was there was thousands of people coming, and dignitaries were coming and everything. And then there was one wild hippie in the and he had, you know, like Jimi Hendrix hairstyle. And he called out, "Is anybody who understands the self by the self in the innermost depths of their being has understood the self?" Prabhupada said, "Yes." So Prabhupada had him come up on the stage, and he sat him down. They gave him a microphone. So he said, "You said that Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago, but other swamis, they said only 1,500 years ago. You answer my question." Prabhupada said, "No, you answer my question. What is the method of receiving knowledge from Bhagavad Gita?" And he said, no, I asked you a question first. You should ask my question." Prabhupada said, "No, you answer my question. What is the process of receiving knowledge?" No, they never arguing back and Prabhupada, and they started shouting and everything. There's 20,000 people looking. And they're going, and everybody's getting upset. And Prabhupada was angry, and he had a false tooth, a gold tooth, and it was kind of falling out. And he dropped jumping down, and he was shouting, and they were both shouting at each other. And everybody was, "What are we doing?" And everyone said, "Oh no, he's a sadhu, he shouldn't do this." And the organizer all going, "You know, we've organized the big thing, and it looks like it's going to..." And all the audience, some people were getting up and walking out. Malati Mataji was there, she was sitting in the ladies, with the life members and the the ladies. And one Mataji said, "Your Swamiji, he shouldn't get angry." And she went, she slapped her, Malati slapped her on the face. She said, "You can't say that about my Prabhupada, he can get angry if he wants." So everyone, the whole commotion was going on. And then the devotees had to come and they dragged this hippie away. And then Prabhupada continued his lecture. He said, "But like, so many people left." But a lot of people couldn't understand, even the devotees, a lot of devotees couldn't understand what was going on either. But Giriraj Maharaj, he said that actually this was a point Prabhupada was making, you know, what is the purpose, how do we receive knowledge from Bhagavad Gita? What is the process? And it's not challenging. You don't come up in a challenging mood, you know, you told me, you answer my question. This is how he was challenging. He come in all spiritual at first, who is under self, or under the self and the inner mood. And Prabhupada said, yes.
Good.
So, you know, he should have thought, wow, here is the saint, here is the person, let me inquire submissively. But he didn't. And he just went over the stupid question. When was Bhagavad Gita? You said 5,000 years, it's only 150. Someone else said 1,000. Useless question. If a person just said he's a self-realized soul, you would go a little bit deeper with that conversation. Anyway, it was kind of crazy. But Prabhupada did get angry, but it was showing actually all the Mayavadis left because they thought, you know, sadhu, he doesn't become angry. But all the devotees stayed, so Prabhupada. Giriraj was saying, at least the devotees stayed. Then Prabhupada continued his lecture. But that was the whole point, you know, how to gain knowledge from Bhagavad Gita, how to approach knowledge. So, it has its place. So then now another question may be raised here. Rupa Maharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, it kicks out the cheating religion. At the beginning of Bhagavatam, right in the beginning, Dhamma Artha Kama Moksha, it kicks out cheating religions. It's establishing pure devotional service. So, why is Swayambhuva Manu in the fourth canto? Because the Manu Samhita is more or less Varnashram Dharma. So Krishna's kicked out Dharma Artha Kama Moksha in the beginning. So here is Swayambhuva Manu, who has written the Manu Samhita. Prabhupada said the Manu Samhita is more or less Varnashram Dharma. So, why is he appearing here? Now we see he's just appeared here, Manu, but now he's going to speak to Dhruva Maharaj and tell him why he should stop fighting, quite a few verses. But you'll notice in every verse, practically, in his advice to Dhruva to stop fighting, he's connected everything with Krishna. So this is what is wanted. It's when Krishna is disconnected to everything, then things become inauspicious. Dharma becomes inauspicious when Krishna is not connected to it. Jnana and logic, they're inauspicious when Krishna is not there. Jiva Goswami is asking Nityananda Prabhu when they were in Vidyanaga, place of learning. All the learning is coming from Vidyanaga, all the branches of knowledge. So he says, if logic and jnana and things like that, they're inauspicious, why do they have a place in Navadvipa? In Vidyanaga. Nityananda says they're never inauspicious. When they're used properly, for the purpose of jnana, the purpose of knowledge is to reveal the high position of bhakti to Krishna. So when it's used properly, it's never inauspicious. But when it's separated from Krishna, then it becomes inauspicious. So here we see Manu, every proposal he's making to Dhruva, he's giving him very good advice, different types of advice, but it's always connected with Krishna. So in this way, this is why Swayambhuva is Mahajan, one of the Mahajanas, yes? Swayambhuva. So he is a Mahajana, he's an Acharya, because he knows how to connect everything to Krishna. It's Dharma, but it's connected to Krishna. We have many, all over the world, everybody has their laws, their do's and their do-nots, their rules, their regulations. But often we find that there's no explanation why you should do that, why you shouldn't do that. But you find that a lot, it's frustrating. No real good answer, no real, nothing. But here, Bhayambhuva Manu is giving the how to present something. Present it in relation to Krishna. See his connection with Krishna. Then it makes sense. Then it's good. It does good for the living entity. Without Krishna, nothing is really auspicious. So when everything is connected to Krishna, then everything becomes very auspicious. So this is Swayambhuva Manu. He's connecting everything, for all of his arguments or all his proposals, it's all related to Krishna. So then obviously Dhruva Maharaj, yeah, it's good. So obviously he's going to accept it as good advice. Because ultimately Krishna is the ultimate authority anyway. So it makes sense to accept the things in relationship to Krishna. See, in this world, the living entities, progression, we progress first. We think this material world is for our enjoyment. We want to enjoy this material world. Then as we become a bit more advanced, we see this world as Maya. It's not a place of my enjoyment, but now we see the world as Maya. And then more advanced, we see Krishna's energy is connected to Krishna's, because it's Krishna's energy. And then more advanced, you see Krishna. So first you see your enjoyment, then you see Maya, then you see connection to Krishna, then you see Krishna. That's very advanced. But Manu, he cannot preach that, because this is Premanjana Charita Bhakti Bhadho Chanina, who is on that stage. People are not on it. So Manu, he's doing the next best thing. Connect everything to Krishna. If you can't always remember Krishna and have affection for Krishna, feeling Krishna and seeing Krishna all everywhere, then connect everything to Krishna. See everything is connected to Krishna. So this is what Manu is doing. So it's very suitable for the mankind that they can learn to connect everything to Krishna. So then it doesn't become Vanasham or Surik Vanasham just based on the qualities and work, and but it's based on Krishna, qualities and work in relation to Krishna. So then everything becomes explained nicely. So therefore he is a Mahajan. Otherwise it's difficult to explain. Even Vyasadeva, he made a mistake. And his Guru Maharaj pointed it out. Narad Muni, you made a mistake. You haven't connected everything with Krishna. This is your mistake, he said. You practice all these rules and regulations, these do's and do nots. People are inclined to enjoy anyway. That's the nature of the living, and they want to enjoy. Now you give them a license to enjoy. This is how to do the Vivaha Samskara, marriage ceremony, so you can enjoy. This is how you can drink wine. By doing this, someone gets to the Soma Rash, you can worship the devas. This is how you can eat meat, by worshipping Kali and things like that. You told all these do's and do nots, they're all restrictions. And because people are inclined, they're taking those and saying, this is our religion. Look, Veda says we can. We can eat meat, we can drink wine. Here's our marriage license. Sex license. But these are restrictions. And you haven't connected all these things with Krishna. There's a mistake. So even Vyasadeva. Also a Mahajan. Right? Vyasadeva, yeah. But he made a little mistake there. Narada Muni pointed it out. So that's how... So the Vedas, they are meant for Mahajanas to explain. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the Vedas were never written for common men, ordinary men. Even learned jnanis, they're written for the acharyas. The acharyas, they read the Vedas. And then they explain the meaning. That's the only way to understand the Veda. You have to be a Mahajan, an acharya, to do that. Not just a great learned person or a pundit. He cannot do that. So, they read the Vedas, they can understand. So the Vedas weren't meant to be written for the common man, and they never will be. So here, we see Swayambhuva Manu, he's an acharya, he's a Mahajana, so he understands the essence of the teaching. Because he knows everything, he's connecting everything to Krishna. So, we'll see, he's presenting so many nice things in his conversation coming up in the future. But we will see how he's connected everything to Krishna. Therefore, he's in the Bhagavatam, fourth canto, connected everything to Krishna. Swayambhuva Mano ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Shrima Bhagavatam ki, Shama Beta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai Go Premanandi. Any comment?
Our movement, the Hare Krishna movement, could do for a peaceful world. And if it's possible to stop this violence, or in Kali Yuga is going to get worse and worse?
Certainly at the end, there is violence. Kalki comes with the sword. No preaching, only violence. That's the only thing that works. How to deal with wars? First you have to deal with the war within your own mind. So that means everybody should become devotee. How to make a peaceful world? It wasn't designed for that. That's practically an impossibility. But how to make peace in your... How Krishna consciousness can affect the world and make peace in the world. Yeah, Harry's... The point was coming up the other day in one class. And Harry, sorry, Prabhu. And you know, there's something going around that in 2012, end of the world is coming, something like that.
Higher consciousness.
Higher consciousness, okay. The end of the world is coming according to some calendars, and apparently everybody's talking about it. So then this temple is built in a couple of years also. So that pushes up the higher consciousness or Krishna consciousness. This changes the whole, so in other words, the end of the world means end of material consciousness, and it's the era of Krishna consciousness. So this comes in for 10,000 years. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called the golden era of Kali Yuga. And for 10,000 years, 5,000 years it goes up, 5,000 years it goes down. So this is the beginning of that. So this temple is going to have such a big impact. So it is going to, it's going to kill atheists, it's going to kill so many unwanted elements. So it's going to be a challenge for the world. So this will be the new consciousness, Krishna consciousness. And the old consciousness is finished, that's the end of the world, of the old material consciousness. Now this is the beginning of the new consciousness. Take part. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Is it present?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So a few days back some guests come to Mayapur. I asked them to take some books, Srila Prabhupada books. They purchased three Bhagavad Gita. But after that I came to know that they are fishermen. They are doing the fish business. But somehow they purchased books, laminations, many different things. Then also they are supposed to become the devotee in future. So what do they do after they give their fish business, yeah, they continue. So they're doing the fish business. So yeah. So after becoming devotees, they will continue the business, yeah, they give up their business.
What's the question? So
what will they do?
What will I do?
Yeah.
They'll give up their nets and follow Prabhupada. Jesus was preaching to the fishermen. He said, give up your nets and follow me. So many of them did. They became saints. They were fishermen by association with Jesus. So by association with Prabhupada, by reading, and after some time they'll give up their fishing nets and follow Prabhupada. Also become saint. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki?
Thank you.